In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God is faithful.
Page 151.
Will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn together to Psalm 103 in the front part of our hymnals. And today we chant Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12, responsively by whole verse. I will chant the odd-numbered verses. The congregation will chant the even-numbered. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of Genesis, chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The epistle is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 14. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I will forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the psalm that we chanted earlier, Psalm 103. And, I mean, Psalm 103, take your pick. I mean, every verse is golden. But today I'm going to preach on verse 10. He, the Lord, does not do to us according to our sins, and he does not repay us according to our iniquities. Dear Christians, who can place a value on the book of Psalms? And how many of our most treasured Bible verses come from the Psalms? For instance, Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And on we could go. Countless other psalm verses could be included, others that even now are racing through your own minds. Through them, God speaks to us. With them, he puts his words and his thoughts into our ears and into our hearts and into our mouths. And that's why the Psalms continue to be an important part of the praying and the singing of God's people when they worship. And that's also a little known fact, but it's also why at one time, before a man could become a pastor, he had to memorize the book of Psalms. so that those words of God would be in his heart and on his lips as he went about the work of the ministry. Well, today we chanted together a portion of Psalm 103, another gem from the Psalms. We sang and heard these glorious words of verse 10. He, the Lord, does not do to us according to our sins, and he does not repay us according to our iniquities. My friends, that is the very definition of the grace of God. You know, if you're ever talking with anyone and they say to you, maybe they're not a Christian, or maybe they haven't studied the Bible much, and they say, what do we mean when we talk about the grace of God? You could simply recite Psalm 103, verse 10. The Lord does not do to us according to our sins, and he does not repay us according to our iniquities. That's what we mean when we talk about God's grace, his undeserved, unearned, unmerited grace, his unearned love and divine favor. The Lord does not give us what we deserve. He does not do to us what he could do, what he should do because of our sins. He doesn't pay us back for all of our lawless and loveless deeds against our neighbors and all of our daily acts of open rebellion against him and his word. He doesn't do that because that's not who he is. In verse 8 of Psalm 103, we chanted these words, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Those are the same words that the Lord used to describe himself as he passed by Moses on top of Mount Sinai. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Because the Lord is gracious, he deals with us in a gracious way. Because the Lord is merciful, he shows mercy to us sinners. Because the Lord is slow to anger, he is patient and long-suffering with us, his wayward sheep. Because the Lord abounds in steadfast love, his love for us, his fallen creatures, can never, ever be depleted. Who the Lord is determines what the Lord does. Because of who the Lord is, he does not do to us according to our sins, and he does not repay us according to our iniquities. But imagine for a second if he did. What would that look like? It would look like Good Friday. It would look like Golgotha. It would look like everything that Jesus endured on the cross. If the Lord did to us according to our sins, if he repaid us according to our iniquities, it would mean suffering and pain and despair for us, not just now, but forever. Not just for a time on this earth, but for all eternity in hell. If God did to us according to our sins and repaid us according to our iniquities, it would mean being forsaken forever by the Father, being cast out from the presence of Jesus, being emptied of God's Holy Spirit, left alone in our hard-earned suffering, doomed to endure a well-deserved death, and destined to share a never-ending torment along with the devil and his angels. And that thought might scare you. Even though you're a Christian, that thought might scare you. Had a conversation before Bible class today with a gentleman from the congregation. He was asking about Judgment Day and if we would be judged and what that would mean. And I hope that the Lord will look favorably on me. I mean, we think about that. And we think about what if the Lord isn't gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That thought scares us. And it should. When you come face to face with your sin, when your iniquities haunt you, when you can't rid your mind of those hateful thoughts or block out those impure desires, when the harsh and unkind words that you spoke to your spouse or your children keep echoing in your ears, when the memory of the hurtful thing you did to your neighbor keeps you awake at night
and regret and shame gnaw away at your soul, that makes you afraid. It makes you afraid because you know what the Lord could do to you. You know what the Lord should do to you. You know that he would be perfectly just if he did to you according to your sins and repaid you according to your iniquities. But remember this, when you are afraid, when God's law has unmasked you as the sinner that you are, when your guilty conscience is accusing you, when the devil is trying to convince you that you're going to hell with him, that's when you flee to the words of Psalm 103, verse 10, just as you would flee to a storm cellar in the path of a tornado. That's when you flee to the Lord of whom those words speak and who speaks those words. He does not do to us according to our sins, and he does not repay us according to our iniquities. But that doesn't mean that your sins haven't been dealt with and have simply gone unpunished. That doesn't mean that your iniquities have gone unrewarded. Oh, no. That Lord who is merciful and just, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, is also just. He is the one who says, the soul that sins shall die. He is the one who inspired St. Paul to write, the wages of sin is death. He is the one who on the last day will say to those who do not believe in him and have refused his grace and mercy, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. No, the Lord did something about your sins. He just didn't do it to you. He repaid someone else for your iniquities. Jesus. Jesus himself bore your sins in his body. Jesus carried them all the way to the cross and then to the grave. God the Father did to Jesus according to your sins. God the Father repaid Jesus according to your iniquities. Jesus endured your suffering that you might enjoy eternal pleasures at God's right hand. Jesus died your death that your body and soul might live forever. Jesus tasted your hell that you might inherit and inhabit heaven. That's why the Lord doesn't do to you according to your sins, because he's already done it to Jesus. That's why the Lord doesn't repay you according to your iniquities, because he's already repaid Jesus for every last one of them. And now, in Jesus, believing in Jesus, baptized into Jesus, you are free. Free from sin, free from its guilt, free from its condemnation, free from its punishment, and free from its dominion. Just as Joseph didn't give his brothers what they deserved for their loveless sins against him, so Jesus doesn't give you what you deserve for your loveless sins against him. Like the king in the parable, Jesus forgave your enormous debt of sin because there's no way you could pay it yourself. He set you free from all that should have been done to you because of your staggering debt. And now, having been baptized into that Lord Jesus who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, he has begun to conform your life and your conduct to his own image. Now Jesus is making you merciful and gracious to your neighbor. Now Jesus is refashioning you to be slow to anger and to abound in steadfast love. Today again, you will eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus that he gave and shed on the cross for your forgiveness. You will receive with heart and mouth the very price that Jesus paid to erase your debt of sin. Today at this supper, Jesus once again removes your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Here at his table, he will not and does not do to you according to your sins or repay you according to your iniquities. And with a taste of the supper fresh in your mouth, with the gospel still ringing in your ears, you go home strengthened and set free by your Lord. You begin another week empowered to not do to your neighbor according to his sins and to not repay him according to his iniquities. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. What a great psalm. What an even greater Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.